Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, living and undead alike. This is our little preview podcast for season 3 of Penny Dreadful.
This is a No Ship Network podcast. I am your host, Em.
And I am your host, Steve.
Paul will be joining us for the rest of the season. We just had to record a quick preview podcast primarily so we can let you know what the schedule is going to be for the recording and uploading of our podcast. And then just to kind of give you a little bit of speculation about what we saw in the preview. It's going to be different this year. We are going to be recording on Wednesday nights and then uploading on Thursday nights. So you have time to write in feedback if you are compelled to do so. Those of you who were with us the last seasons know that we like to read feedback. And those of you who are coming off of Vikings know how much that means to us. But we're not going to be producing a separate feedback podcast like we have with Vikings. We're going to all include it all into one podcast. So we do ask that you keep your feedback to one paragraph as much as you can.
Yeah, the all thing was really fun for Vikings, but our schedule is not going to permit us to do a similar podcast for the Demimon. So what right. We're going to do is just kind of tack it on to the end of each episode. Keep everything, like Em said, down to a paragraph. We keep it nice and short and sweet and meaty. And we can hopefully get to everybody who has something to say about the episode, because we're hoping that you guys are going to continue with the feedback. We're hoping that there's people who are going to follow us over from this year's episodes of Vikings into this season of Penny Dreadful. And we know all the people who listened to Penny Dreadful last year are going to be back again. And, you know, since there's kind of, they're closer a little bit in a loose way thematically, maybe there's some people who listen to Deadite Bites who could jump over to this as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's a long shot, because I think there's some people who might say, well, there's highbrow humor than there's anything that has Bruce Campbell in it. So hopefully, we're hoping. But we do want to hear from everybody. We do want to encourage feedback. But like we said, to reiterate, because of scheduling, we're not going to do a separate podcast. So we're going to keep it at the end of each one and just try to hit the major points and give everybody a little chance to chime in.
Right. So to write feedback, go to our website at www.noship.net, or you can also go and write to us directly at our Gmail account, which is noshipnetwork@gmail.com. And that's NOSHIP, P as in Paul. So we just watched the preview. We watched it a couple times before mm-hmm. we decided to sit down and record this preview podcast. Steve, so what are your thoughts on what you saw?
I'm psyched.
Yeah, me too.
It looks really good. I mean,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, the cinematography. I mean, I don't know if we're just getting all of the best scenes, but it looks like everything's stepped up a notch. Like they're really stepping up their game.
I don't think it's I think it's the same consistency, because I think it's always been beautiful. We just forgot.
Maybe. Yeah, that's definitely possible, because there's so much time between seasons. I mean, every time I come back to Penny Dreadful, it's this wave of like, oh my God, I forgot how beautiful and how awesome this show was and how much I love it. And we don't podcast on a whole lot of shows, so I'm not going to just sit here and say it's one of my favorite shows to podcast on, because all the shows we do are my favorite shows to podcast on.
So the guy with the dark under his eyes, you think that's Hyde?
Well, you had said the new big bad, or one of the new players at the very least in the season, was going to be the whole Dr. and Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yeah. Yes, he is definitely in there. So,
But then there's that part where she says, he has been hunting me since the dawn of time.
I thought about that, and I'm wondering if it's just the way they've set up the preview to make it think that she's talking about him, but really she's talking about maybe the demon that's inhabiting her.
That seems more plausible and realistic.
I mean, and it's hard to trust previews, because we've definitely learned that with Vikings. That
they love to play around and make you think something's happening when it's completely the opposite. Do you think this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde character could possibly be an ally to fight the bigger big bad?
I don't know. I mean, it worked out like that in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but mm-hmm. You know, I've read the book, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. If they're going to go more towards that, I would say absolutely not.
Yeah.
Unless Jekyll can get a hold of that, if he can get the reins on that, which I doubt.
If he can get a hold of himself.
Yeah, I mean, it is his worst nature. So it's like his worst nature is completely distilled into this one being. So, yeah.
We didn't get too much of Caliban in this. Just a scene of him riding along and then laughing.
Yeah, he's definitely not in the Arctic anymore. it was quite sunny and green on that that carriage. Well,
maybe
or
we'll
whatever.
Just assume he was on a cruise and the Arctic was just one of the stops.
Yeah.
I like the scene with Victor looking like a junkie. I didn't like it because I want to see him suffer. I liked it because they're sticking with the ugly storylines and they're delving into them. They're not shying away from it. Like, nobody stops being an addict overnight.
That's true. And that's his main demon, I guess you could say.
Besides the one he's actually physically created.
Right. And subsequently created another as well.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of demons. He's probably got more than anybody. And then, yeah, speaking of Lily / Brona, doesn't seem to be too, she doesn't populate that preview too much.
Well, there's a...
Populate is such a pretentious sounding way of saying that, isn't it?
She's only sprinkled unliberally over this preview. Well, you have the scene with Dorian Gray and another woman who we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And they're kissing. And then you get a later scene. I don't know if it's later or before that. But you get another scene where you have Lily and Victor and they're talking. And he mm-hmm. says, it's easy to be monsters. Let's try to be humans. And she's crying.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if she's manipulating him there.
She could be manipulating him, but she could have also realized that Dorian Gray's full of shit. And she's hurt by this somehow. And
I don't know. I after, you know, like the transformation or supposed transformation of Lily last season, I got the idea that she was just hiding that. She was pretending to be sweet the whole time. Like, it was very insidious, the slow reveal of who she really was underneath it all. Like, she's not really Brona at all anymore. But, I mean, I know that's not the same for Caliban because... Well, actually, he doesn't seem to have any he doesn't have memories popping in from his previous life.
Yeah, his confliction is of a completely different nature.
Right. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that she was fooling Victor.
You're just sticking with
like,
the whole thing.
Like, she was aware the whole time of what was going on, and she was pretending to be learning and all that stuff. And
right. So you're sticking with the whole idea that she's manipulating him then.
Definitely.
There's no emotion left
at
all.
Yeah.
So she's just crying because...
I don't really know for sure. I'm just, that's the first thought I had when I saw her crying with him in that scene is that she's going to be manipulating him and he's going to be a fool again.
I'm just wondering what scenario would necessitate that kind of behavior from her because her and Dorian have already come out and said, we're pretty much omnipotent and you guys have to bow down to us. So what could they want from Victor von Frankenstein that they couldn't just take from him or coerce from him?
Maybe they want a baby.
Okay.
We do see some weird, creepy kid running around that's all pale. Maybe he creates a family.
So there's some good action. There's some good action in this preview as well. It looks like we finally get to see what I've wanted to see is them kind of coalesce as like this Marvel or DC comic superhero group and start kicking some ass on some bad guys. Or hopefully, maybe it's just not artfully... cut and pasted to make it look like that, but there's a scene where Ethan is in full werewolf mode and he's just lashing out. So
yeah, and it looks like he brings somebody from the States with him over to England. I'm wondering if we didn't see Patti LuPone in there and we just hear somebody say Vanessa, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's her. And I'm wondering if we're gonna have one episode again with her playing a character and it's gonna be her psychologist. So maybe Vanessa in the padded room is just going to be a one episode again or one episode that just has Patti LuPone in there because she played the cut wife. It was one episode. And I think then we might have a similar scenario.
I'm hoping that that's the case. And I'm hoping that also that is a flashback episode and it kind of delved more into her time when she was in the asylum after mm-hmm. the, what was the stuff called?
The trepanation.
Trepanation and things like that. Because we didn't get like full, we get a scene where I felt like when we got that whole part of her life, she has short hair. Then the next thing you know, she's got like super long hair. And she's seeing, you know, what was her name? Her friend's name? Lucy? No.
Oh, Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy. It seemed like that. It seemed like it went from that time period to that time period to where she had.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm hoping it's a flashback. I'm hoping that Vanessa in this time isn't spending. Mina. Okay. I'm hoping
Lucy was Mina's friend in the book. So, yeah. Okay.
I'm hoping that we don't see Vanessa go to an asylum in the real time stream, like the present time stream. I'm hoping, because I feel like that's kind of dead ending, you know, that you just kind of keep going in and out and going in and out. So hopefully that was a flashback. So
it might be. I don't know. I know she's playing, Patti LuPone's playing an American. So we've got scenes that are going to be in America. So that's an interesting kind of way to create balance.
That's the guy who's going to come back with Ethan is the Native American. Looks like a medicine man, kind of shaman.
Because you
thing.
Have Ethan, Malcolm Murray, and that guy walking together. It looks like they're coming to maybe rescue Ives at some point, which it's funny how like they play her up like this person who needs to be in constant rescue. But like there's this weird tension in that way where she's like this person that seems to be in distress, this damsel in distress, but at the same time, she's not. So there's, I guess it's more of like a contradiction because she's definitely the only person who can really fight what's within her.
So,
but it's like external forces she needs help with, I guess. And
she is a contradiction because on one hand, she is the most capable member of the group in certain ways. And then on another hand, she can be also so helpless because her existentialist threat literally is within her. It's not something outward that she could just swing a bat at.
I'm not sure she's the most capable. I mean, I think they're all pretty capable in their own way, but
I guess I won't say she's the most capable. I guess that's the wrong way to put it. She's just as capable as anybody else in the group, but I feel as though she gets almost dealt the worst hand every season so far. It just seems like something
that's true
inhibiting is happening to her at all times.
I would say that could be true. I mean, I think Ethan's pretty, afflicted as well. I mean, he's got a pretty bad hand dealt to him too. But speaking of both of them, when you see her run down the stairs to him, it's so cool because I think, I'm not usually one of those people that gets really jazzed about some couple coming together, but I do feel it for those two. And I don't know why. I think it's because I believe them in their roles. Like
do you feel like it's an issue of chemistry? Like you feel like the chemistry is there between them? It's believable?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Well, one of the things that I like about this show is, or I'm hoping that this show is going to do, is embrace the duality of these characters and say, okay, well, yeah, you've got a demon inside you. You're a werewolf. You're an addict. You're conflicted about your guilt from the past. You're this, that, and the other thing, and then you've got the virtual embodiment of that, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde mm-hmm. character. So hopefully this season will focus on synthesizing the parts of these people instead of being 100% given over to a character's lesser or evil tendencies or becoming just this the apex of purity. Why not have this kind of melding of the two to where they can go, okay, everybody's flawed, but I'm going to use my flaws to fight evil. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do, just bring that. I always feel like it's on the verge. I always feel like it's on the verge of doing that, but we never quite get there. And I'm hoping season 3 brings us there. Mm-hmm. And it looks like from this preview that they at the very least want us to think that that's a possibility. Okay, so bottom line, do we get a WWF style cage match between Lily/Brona and Caliban?
Maybe.
Where they just beat the crap out of each other.
I the speech she gave him last season, I'm not sure where that's going, but I'm hoping Victor is going to be the one that gets his day with her.
Hmm. Okay.
Even though he's responsible for her.
Yeah, he's responsible for quite a bit.
And he was all touching her boobs and stuff when she was not even fully conscious. Yeah.
We're not going to blame him for that, are we? We're not going to go down this road. You would have done it too. I'm hoping for the preview didn't show too much of him, but I'm hoping for a bigger spot for Caliban in this because it would be a little bit disappointing unless they pulled it off and it really did well. It seems to me like at the outset it would be a little bit disappointing to just have him relegated to 5 minutes an episode where they show him wherever he's at finding himself.
There might be if you're talking about a beatdown, there might be between one Caliban, which he's calling himself John Clare, right? Mm. John Clare and Hyde. Mm. Maybe because John Clare and Ives continue their friendship.
Oh.
And if Hyde is hunting Ives, maybe that will be.
I could deal with that. I just want to see him unleash on somebody besides the Putneys,
Where did he killed all the Putneys? Mm-hmm. So,
well, he only killed two of them, but he effectively
left the blind daughter.
Yeah, she's not gonna last long.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I could see them bringing her back. He probably should have killed her.
it seems like a motif, you know, like, who is this mysterious villain? It's like, ha ha, it's the blind Putney that you left behind. You thought you'd never see again. But I mean, even for a show like this, that's stretching it. Well, I mean, what the hell would she do?
Well, at least maybe we'll see like headlines, you know, from the paper boys where you, this rambling blind girl talking about some monster in the streets.
Before they put her away in the asylum.
Yeah, right. Or we'll see Ives passing her in the hallway of the sanitarium or something. You think Hecate is going to last all season?
I could see her lasting all season and kind of, I don't know. Part of me sees her lasting all season and then actually being the big bad villain in another season. Mm-hmm. Like kind of coming back around again rather than, I almost thought that they would not have her at all in this season and then bring her back for, say, season 4.
And we didn't see anybody that could possibly be Ethan's father, unless...
I didn't notice. We watched the preview twice in a row, and it was a little, like, it was 2.5 minutes long, and I didn't see anybody who looked like he could fit the bill.
So I wonder if we'll meet him.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I want to see who this guy is.
Yeah, me too.
I'm curious. But I mean, you know, Malcolm is his real dad anyway. Not his actual biological father, but he's his real dad, and he's Vanessa's dad, you know, and whenever they get together, he's going to be their father.
And we didn't see any footage of Malcolm in Africa, so my hopes for Senbene being a mummy is probably hopeless.
Yeah, the whole Senbene thing is still a raw nerve with this show, because I had such high hopes for that character. I was hoping to keep with the wrestling motif, like tag team matches between him and, you know, Ethan or him and Caliban or something like that, where they're just fucking up some bad guys. And it was, I don't know. But the show's not written like that. I'm expecting it to kind of be like a Marvel movie on TV with horror stuff. It's not really like that. And I don't really want it to be that way. I just need a little bit of that each season to keep me going, you know, to keep that side of me going. Like the scene from episode, I forget which episode it was, but season 2, when it's Vanessa and Ethan, and mm-hmm. they kill that guy, the hunter from, I forget his name now.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name, too.
That was so much fun, just to see them doing that. There was even a little bit of comedic element
there
in
was.
There.
Somebody got their head slammed to the table. Was it Ives?
I think so, yeah. But I like to have those kinds of scenes sprinkled throughout the season, just a little bit here and a little bit there. It would get kind of boring if they were the centerpiece of every single episode, obviously. Mm-hmm. So all in all, this looks like I'm really jazzed up to see this, and you can watch the first episode for free, even if you don't have Showtime.
Right, you can watch it online.
Online. So mm-hmm. We'll definitely be doing that in the next couple of days, and then we'll be recording on Wednesday, which is the 4th of May, and then it'll be up for you guys to listen to on the 5th.
Right, late night.
Late, super late.
So with that in mind, if you're wanting to write in feedback, please get it in by 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, May 4th, which is Wednesday. All right. So that's it for now. We'll talk to you then. This was a No Ship Network podcast. I am your host, Em.
And I'm your host, Steve.